We're glad you're here, and we're thankful to be here tonight. We've got a lot to do. How many ready to get into this third Torah portion? So this is sort of how it's going to be this year. We're going to take the majority of our service time and focus heavily on the Torah, because it's going to be a lot of help to us. By this end of this year, you'll be definitely equipped to navigate through the Torah on your own, because there's going to come a time where we're going to have to do the Torah by ourselves, because we're going to have other stuff to do as far as church teachings, elements of study that we're going to have to go through. And so you can take these messages and kind of navigate through on your own. It'll be a big help to you. But I think before we do that, we'll take this year and we'll cover them best we can ourselves. So the Torah teaching is understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. There's things that he likes and he just loves them. And there's things that he dislikes. And we need to work on knowing both of those things, not just one of them. Our job is not to spend our life to try to not do what he doesn't like us to do. And when you do that, you fail to realize that there are some things that he loves, and we don't do those things. So we have to make sure we're focused on both sides. I want to do the things he loves for me to do and he likes, and I want to stay away from the things that he dislikes. How many know that's not easy? Not easy at all to do, but we can continue to learn and commit our lives to Scripture to show us these paths. So this week's Torah is Torah number 3. The Porsche is Lake Laha. And where we get this, because it sort of looks like it's just go, go, is what it is. But there's, with the vowel pointing, is where we understand this a little bit more. So this is the lamet, and this is the, really it's the kaf, but it's a sofit because it's at the end of a word. So it's a kaf sofit. So the lamet kaf, and you see this little T here? That's a kamatz. That kamatz tells us that your is in it. That's because it's treated as a suffix. So this is where we get go for yourself. Now, this is why it's so important to understand it in the Hebrew. Because it's not just doing something that God says to do. So if I give a job and say I told Brother Josh, say, you go over in that jar right there. Look in that jar. If I say go do it, he's going just because I said to go. But if I say go for yourself, you don't even realize that what you're going to do is going to bring a blessing to you, because in the jar is $100. And this is what he's trying to tell Abram. He's telling Abram, go for yourself. You have no idea that I'm telling you to go from where you are now, but don't just go because I'm telling you. Go for the rest of your life is going to matter with this. It's going to matter. Everything you put your hands to is going to matter because of your obedience. So he's telling them, he's trying to explain to him in this lamet kaf, and putting the kamatz there so we get that what he's telling him is important for his own life, not just because God said go. So he's not just obeying God. He's doing the best thing for his life that he can do by going. His life would have not been the same if he wouldn't have went. It would have changed everything. It would have changed his generation. It would have changed everything. And think about it. It's not just being called into ministry. You don't just do it because you feel like God called you. You have to do it for yourself, because you know it's the right thing, and this is important. So this Torah portion is in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through Genesis 17, 27. And the half Torah is Isaiah 40, 41 through 16. It's very interesting half Torah. We'll see if we can cover some of the meaning of what the half Torah is without going into it too far in the morning. The topics of the Porsche that we're going to cover this, starting tonight and in the morning, is chapter 12, Abram was 75 when called out of idolatry. 75 years old when he was called out of idolatry. Now, this whole Porsche covers from 75 to 99. So we have, in this particular portion, we got to cover all those years from age 75 to 99. What is that? 24 years we're going to cover. And so there's a lot of stuff. So we're going to cover 24 years of a person's life in about 3 hours. That's going to be tough. Right? Can you see that? There's a lot of stuff we won't get to say or cover. But we'll cover as much as we can. That means keep studying, all of you, keep studying, because this is a lot of stuff to cover. Abram was 75 when called out of idolatry of Ur, then to Haran, which is in Lebanon, then to Canaan, then to Egypt, and then back to Canaan. Why did he leave Canaan the first time and then go back? Because there was a famine in the land. He had to leave. There was no choice. There was nothing there for him to survive on. He had to go. Chapter 13, we're going to look at Abram shows selflessness in faith, giving Lot first choice of the land. Now think about it. Who was the called out one? Abram. But what did he do when it came to Lot? He gave him first choice. How many realize that he's showing the character of the Most High? That's what y'all did for us. Instead of saying, I'm just going to erase the board and start over, he didn't erase the board. He took all the pieces that was usable on the board and he's putting back together humanity. And I thank God that he shows that selflessness in, because he, you know, you think about what he could have done and what he did. Same thing with Abram, what he could have done and what he did. He showed selflessness when it came to Lot, because he could have just said, Lot, I tried it, it didn't work. You're done. Now, do you think Lot could have took on Abram's 318 men that was trained by him? He didn't have a chance. These were expert trained fighters. There's no way they had a chance, but he didn't do that. What he said, Lot, you choose. And a lot of times that's what Yah does. He gives us the right to choose. And we're either going to choose right or we'll choose wrong. How many know if we choose wrong, there's cause and effect that comes with that. But if we choose right, what comes with it? Blessings. It's wonderful. And everybody's smiling and we're rejoicing. How many remember when you rejoiced and then the week when you didn't rejoice so much? It just happens. That's because we made wrong choices. But he wants us to make good choices. But we see that in chapter 13, we'll see that. Chapter 14, 4 kings against 5. And we'll see the introduction or the first mention of Melchizedek is introduced. It's wonderful. Chapter 15, the promise to Abram, do his righteousness by faith that works obedience. This is the one missing link, I feel like, in Christianity. Righteousness that works obedience. We want to talk about being righteous, and we want to get so righteous we change. We think it's an outward show. So we might dress a certain way, do a certain way, don't wear this or don't wear that. But where's righteousness that works obedience? Why aren't we doing what he says? Very important. and it's valuable to our lives. It leads to Elohim entering into a covenant with Abram. He enters this covenant with Abraham. It's absolutely amazing because he sees something that he's not just accepting what God said to do, but he's obeying. He's obeying, being obedient to him, and it leads to a covenant with him. Chapter 16, we're going to look at Hagar and the birth of Ishmael. And then chapter 17, finally, Abram's name changed. He had a hay added to his name. And that's very significant. We'll look at that. That'll be tomorrow sometime if we can get to it. So one of the things I want to talk about, we hadn't talked about yet, in the first two portions, is this parties or Jewish exegesis. This is important for us to understand because the parties is just an acronym. And we're going to look at it. It refers to the types of approaches to biblical exegesis in the rabbinical Judaism or to interpretation of the text in the Torah study. The term, sometimes also spelled parties, is an acronym formed from the same initials of the following four approaches. The Peshat, it simply means surface or straight, or the literal, direct meaning. So it's what we get out of the word or the study that's just the direct thing. It's the first thing that jumps off the page at you when you read it. You read it and you know exactly what that means. Then we'll look at the remez. It hints or a deep allegoric, hidden or symbolic meaning beyond just the literal sense. It's just beyond, not way beyond, but just beyond the literal. So you still have the literal in sight when you're dealing with remez. So keep that in mind, because when we're studying the scripture, in English, we take the exegesis or the eisegesis of the text. We might use Strong's. We might use a commentary. We take a list of commentaries of different people, that's philosophers, those who study scripture, theologians, and we look at what they say. And we're trying to get out the best interpretation of what the scripture actually means. Well, in Jewish Torah study, this is what they use. They use this particular one that I'm talking about right now. And the next one is drash. It's from Hebrew drash, inquire, seek, the comparative, did midrashic, meaning as given through similar occurrences. So it's using other oral understanding of the Torah. Because remember, if you ask any Jew how many Torahs they are, how many are going to say? You ask any Jew how many Torahs they are, what do they say? They'll say there's two. There's the written Torah, and there's the oral Torah, because they believe the oral Torah, as was handed down through the Midrash, was just as inspired as the written Torah. That's what they believe. And they kept this for quite some time. And then you have the Sod, pronounced with the long O, as in lore, secret, mastery, or esoteric mystical meaning as given through inspiration or revelation. Now this one right here, once it gets into esoteric mystical stuff, okay, where's this going? But that's exactly where the Christianity camped. Christianity took their interpretation of Scripture and camped exactly right there. When you go to church on Sunday, what are you listening for? You're hearing what? Inspirational stories. So we go in and take a theme of a verse, and we give inspiration to it, and we use it in many different facets, and it's completely out of context. The context is destroyed. And that's been preached like that for years. And so there is some understanding when it comes to exegeting the deeper hidden language that we find in the Torah. And this is why you'll see that from time to time. And of course, we're using the called out believers, Assembly of Called Out Believers. This is their Porsche board for Lake Laha. The plain meaning, the Peshat, the plain meaning, Avram is the first called out believer. There was nobody else called out yet. He's the first called out believer, and he is a believer. Now, Christianity won't teach this because they believe the first called out believers was those in the upper room, the Acts church. They're the first. According to God, that because Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. So everything he did, it pleased God, and then God accounted it for righteousness. He was the first called out one, literally called out from her. He called him out. And in the Remez, we see God's character. So we're going to see God's character. You always want to find what's the character that we see in God through this portion. And what we see is the exalted Father. And we don't only see it in God's character, he's the exalted Father, but we see it in Avram's name. Because if you look at Avram, Avram is spelling out exalted Father. And we'll go over that a little bit deeper in that tomorrow. The hidden glimpses of Messiah in the Remez, just beyond the literal. Remember, you still have the literal in sight. It's just beyond it. You're not turned completely from the literal. So if you're gonna explain Scripture in the Remez, you're going to explain it with the literal in mind or in sight. It's still in sight. You're explaining it. And so the hidden glimpses of Messiah will be found in the Remez. When you're reading the Torah, how do we see the hidden glimpses of Messiah? We find it in several places, in Abraham, in Lot, and Melchizedek, it's found there. And we'll see Messiah through all of these, and we have a list of that coming up. The applications for us today, faith that works obedience. That's the application. Because you always want to have something, you want to teach the Torah, but where's the practical side? How does it relate to us today? We didn't live back then. But how does we take this teaching, excuse me, how do we take the teaching of the Torah then, and how does it apply to us today, right now in the world we're living in? It's simple. Faith that works obedience. It's the same faith that worked obedience in Abram. It's the same faith that works obedience in me and you. It's not going to change. And that's exactly what it's going to take. We're going to have to, you got to ask yourself, how do I know my faith is working? It's simple. What's the answer? Are you obeying? That's how you can tell your faith is working. And if you don't have faith, you can't please God. Therefore, you're disqualified. You're obeying. There's going to be days that you wish you would have obeyed and you didn't. And you're beating up yourself because you know what you should have done, but you didn't do it. So we have to practice faith that works obedience. We have to practice that. So we can go around and we can give our testimony, whoever we can. You know, the first person you testify to is yourself. And then you get enough nerve, you tell somebody else. And then you find out that what you've been telling yourself is a lie and everybody else is a lie. If you lied to yourself first, guess who else you lied to? Everybody else. And so you don't have faith that works obedience because How do we know it's untrue what you're saying? Because you're not doing what you said. You're not living up to it. If we're going to be call ourselves light, we got to do what? We got to live up to the light. And who's that light? Yeshua. He's the light. He's the light. He said, I'm the light of the world. We have to live up to that light. And so there are many that say, I'm a believer, but they suffer through these things. Let me just share this real quick. It's going to eat into my time, but I'm going to share it because I want to encourage you in how good God is. So I just get back from Florida, and I'm going to get a haircut. Well, I was going to get a haircut in Florida, but it just didn't work out. And I said, well, I'll go Monday. Find me a barber that cuts hair on Monday. Because hairdressers don't work on Monday. But I want a barber. So they found a barber that works on Monday. What time they open? 10 o'clock. Where they located? I didn't know who they were, where they were. But I was they're on Terry Parkway. I said, okay. So we're going to get up in the morning and be there before they open. So we take off. They open for 10 o'clock. We pull in the driveway at the door at 9:30. And there's a light on in the building, neon light. Don't say open, it's just the name of the business is on. I look through the glass, and there's a guy sitting in the back. I said, well, there's somebody in there. Charlotte said, well, you go look. Well, of course, me. I said, I ain't going to look. They're not open yet. They open at 10. She said, well, I'm going to go look. So she barrels out the car and goes and pulls on the door, and it opens. I said, oh, they must be there. Must be open. She said, are y'all cutting hair? He said, yep. She said, well, my husband wants to get his hair cut. Well, tell him, come on. Take him right now. So I get out the car, and I said, just hold up, because she was going to go do what she needed to do. I said, let me find out how long it's going to take. So I go in there. I told him my name. He told me his name. And I said, how long do you think it'll take? He said, he looked at me. About 20 minutes. I cut your hair. I said, okay. So I text Charlotte, 20 minutes. So he said, well, how you want it? I sit in the chair. How you want it? I said, well, I don't want you to go too crazy on me. He said, you don't want nothing bald? I said, nothing bald. I said, but start out maybe with a one and fade it up, you know? He said, okay, I could do that. I said, look, I pastor a church, and I don't want to go. I want it just clean it up. He said, no problem. I said, you can trim my beard, everything. He said, I could take care of it, no problem. So I told him I was pastor of a church, and he kind of paused off to the side, and I'm looking at him in the mirror. I'm looking at him in the mirror, and he's just kind of dazed like that, looking off to the side. And he turns around and takes a big breath, and he says, Pastor, you ain't going to believe what just happened to me. I went, here we go. When somebody starts out, you ain't going to believe what just happened to me, you don't know what's coming next. Yeah, he said, Pastor. I said, what's that, man? He said, I was just sitting over there in that corner, and I was praying, saying, God, I can't do what I'm doing no more. I need some change. You got to send some help for me. I'm hurt. I'm in trouble. And he said, then you walk in. He said, what's the chance of that? I said, I don't know. I said, but here I am. And so you think about God's goodness and how good he is to us and what he wants us to realize. And so I begin to share with him, and I've been going over this whole Torah. And I listened to the whole Torah going up there. So I had it fresh on my mind. And I'm thinking about faith that works obedience. Now, if you're going to call me pastor, I'm going to have to be the pastor. So I said, well, let me just tell you some of the problems you're having. You profess being a believer because he had his Bible and all that. But you told me you smoked crack last night. Now, I can't tell you the last time I wanted to smoke crack, which is never, because I realized that the scripture tells me you're not supposed to do that. But you told me you're doing it, You're actively doing it as up until the last couple hours, you were still high. So I was a little worried then. He slept at the shop. That's why he was there early. But he was a believer who just took a bad turn, and he was struggling. His sister put him out. He got no money, no phone, no car, nothing. He sold his clippers. He was borrowing clippers to cut my hair. He sold them that night, his clippers. He said, the only thing I had to make a couple dollars with, I sold it. And I said, listen to me, Eric. You can't say you a believer and don't do what Yeshua says to do. You can't do it. And I said, you've been having a head knowledge of Christianity, and that's all I've been hearing you say. You following this one and that one. You got this one's book and that one's book. I could see him. They was lined up on his desk there. I said, but when does it hit you in the heart that you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart? When does that happen? I understand, Pastor. I understand what you're saying. I need some help. I said, well, God's here to help you. And today's going to be the first day of a life change for you. Today's the day it starts. Your life will change today. And I've just been praying for Eric that he'll be encouraged and be strong, because he was under it. But listen, I don't care what's happening in your life. You have to have faith that's not just words. It's not just identifies with a group. This is our group of faith believers. That'll get you nowhere. You have to have faith that works obedience. It makes you want to obey. People say, well, the Torah is just so hard to do. It's not hard if you want to. If you want to, it's not hard. Remember, anything that you ever had hard in your life, you really didn't want to do it, so it made it hard. And so you have to have faith that works obedience. That's the application for us today in this Torah. Do I have that kind of faith that makes me want to obey? If not, we've got to work on our emunah to get our faith right. And it'll change everything that's about us. Then the drash is in large letters or anomalies. We'll see if we can get to this. The nekodot over the... This word in Genesis 16:5, we're not going to get to that tonight for sure. But it's pretty interesting, because this is the only time that Sarah disagreed with Abram. The only time she disagreed with Abram, and she said to him something. And it didn't put a dot as a reminder in the Hebrew Bible to spend some time here figuring out why she disagreed. Because when somebody came between their marriage, when somebody comes between the marriage, the little dot's there, and this somebody was Hagar. Remember Hagar, once she got pregnant, she was walking around like this, to show it out to Sarah. And it displeased Sarah that she was doing that, making her feel like she was a nobody. And she said something to him. So that was there. And then we have the Gematria, the Torah code, Abraham, and the Gematria. There's a couple of Gematrias that we can look at. One is the 318 men that Abram had. Eleazar's Gematria is 318. Eleazar was like a son to Abram, just like his own seed. Because he said, maybe I'll have seed through Eleazar. And he said, no, it's going to come out your own loins. And that's why he used the words they are throughout this Torah. He's using that because it's going to be your seed. And 318 was the number of people that Abram had, and he treated all of them like Eleazar. That was the connection. He treated them all like sons because of the character that Abram showed in his faith walk. Remember, Abraham had faith that worked obedience, and we see it in his character. Then the Dead Sea Scrolls, we'll look at Jubilee 17, and that 16 and 17 is wrong there. It's I'll do the correction on that. And then, of course, the half Torah. So this is called the Porsche. This is the parties. This is how you study the Hebrew Bible. The Jewish exegesis is called the parties. So you might hear, you'll hear that from every Torah portion going, you're going to hear that. Chapter 12, Abram was 75 when called out of idolatry of Ur. Then to Haran, Lebanon, which is in Lebanon, Canaan. Then from Canaan to Egypt, back to Canaan. In Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, and Yah said to Abram, go for yourself out of your land, Lake Laha. Go for yourself out of your land, from your relatives and from your father's house, to a land which I show you. And I want you to see this progression. He says, go out of your land. That's one thing. Then he says, from your relatives. That's another thing. How many know they're not the same thing? That's another thing. And then from your father's house. See how it's progressively getting more where it's hitting home. It's one thing to leave your town. It's one thing to leave the relative. It's a whole other thing to leave your dad. But the requests are getting bigger. And as he requests more, he's testing him every time. He's testing him. At what point are you going to say, I'm not doing it? At what point will we say, I give up, I'm not doing it, Lord? If we want to walk out this faith that leads to obedience, we don't know how much faith we really have until we've been tried and tested in some things. And this, the first test of his faith is go yourself out of your land. That's a test of faith. Okay, I'm going. Where I'm going, I don't know, but I'm going. And from your relatives, I'm going. From your father's house to a land which I show you. And I shall make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Notice these words that he's telling him. Not only am I going to bless you, but you're going to be a blessing to other people. You'll be so blessed. Remember, go for yourself. So he wasn't just being obedient to God by going. He was going for what it was going to produce in him as a person, the blessings that was coming. 10 tests of Abraham. There are 10 tests of Abraham. We're going to look at these 10 tests. They're found in the book of Jubilees, chapter 17, verse 21 through 25. This was that correction from verse 16 and 17, because when I went and read it, it was nothing there that was relating to the 10 tests. But I read down, I got it to 21, then it started there with just a mistake, and you make those mistakes. It happens. And the prince of Mastema, that's another word for Satan. So I'm talking about the prince, Mastema, came and said before Elohim, behold, Abraham loveth Isaac his son, and he delighteth in him above all else. Bid him offer him as a burnt offering on the altar, and thou wilt see if he will do this command. And thou wilt know if he is faithful in everything wherein thou dost try him. And Yah knew that Abraham was faithful in all his afflictions, for he had tried him through his country. That's the first test. He tried him through his country. And with famine. Remember, he went to Canaan, and then he left from Canaan and went to Egypt because there was what? A famine in the land. And he tried him with wealth. How many know that you're going to be tried with wealth? God don't mind you being blessed, but you'll be tried with it. What you do with your money matters to God, even though it's yours. What you do with it matters. So when I was at the barber shop, I called Eric. We got outside, and I'm praying with Eric on the sidewalk. And after I got finished praying for him, he let me pray for him. And I prayed the power of God to come in his life and the Spirit of the Lord would illuminate his life and shake him and stir in him. And I said, Lord, by your Spirit, write the Torah on his heart. It's the way he needs to change. He knows about it here because when I stood up, he grabbed my tzitzits. And he said, you Jewish, aren't you? I never said a word to him. He grabbed them. He just grabbed them. He reached out and grabbed it. He says, you Jewish? I said, no, I'm not Jewish. But I'm an Israelite indeed. And so he knows some things. He got this, but he got nothing here. Because when it come time to standing up and being a light, he gave in to it. He said, you know, I'm trying to be a believer. I'm the only believer in the shop. I said, well, you're not doing a very good job at it because if all these guys found out what you did last night, what kind of testimony do you have? He has no faith unto obedience. So his faith is the problem. He needs to work on his faith. Get his faith right, and then he'll obey. So your wealth is important. So what I did after I prayed with him, I paid him for the haircut. He said, it's $30. I gave him $40. I said, there's a $10 tip. And I gave him another $100 and said, go buy your clippers back. I said, today we're getting started on a brand new hour. Brand new. Go get your clippers back. He only sold his clippers for $20, $100-something clippers. That's what you do when you want to smoke crack. And so let's continue to pray for Eric. Your wealth, you'll be tested with it. If all you're gathering wealth is to gather it in and to do what you want to do with it, and you don't see you're doing anything else with that, well, you're reaching out to help people. And I told him, I said, Eric, this is not mine. What I'm giving you, that don't belong to me. I'm just a steward. I'm the carrier of it. I was commissioned by God to carry this in my pocket. And I'm opening it up to you right now. And whatever you do with it, it'll be your decision. But I can tell you, this is anointed. This is God's. And he wants it to be the beginning of a brand new you. You'll be tested with your wealth, like Abram was. Now, Abram already had accumulated lots of wealth. He'd already accumulated some stuff. And Lot accumulated some things. But Abram had many more things than Lot had. So he could have flexed at that time. He could have used his wealth and his power, and especially his 318 men. He could have flexed and said, Lot, you just go and find your own way. But instead, he just let him choose. Remember, he said, if you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I'll go right. Lot chose neither one. He looked straight up ahead. He said, I want all that. If they'd have went right or left, they'd have had half of the good, each of them. You choose if you want the good, whatever half you want, I'll take the other half. Instead, Lot looked straight up and took it all. And Abram never said a thing about it. He never got offended, never got mad. Think about that. Think about you got a pie that you've been waiting somebody to bake you a pie. It's your favorite pie. Maybe it's coconut cream pie. Some good Amish coconut cream pie. And you've been craving it. And somebody comes and visits you at the time you're about to cut the pie. You hear a knock on the door. And you go answer the door, and it's a friend of yours, family member. And they ain't seen you in a while. And you say, come on in, we'll have some coffee. I'm about to cut the pie. And they go, oh, man, that's good. What kind of pie you got? Coconut cream pie. And they come in and say, man, I love coconut cream pie. And he said, well, good, you're welcome to have some. And he walks up to the table and he takes the whole pie and goes out the door, and you don't see him no more. How would that make you feel? He wouldn't get to the door of his car and you'd be on him. Think we got to work on our faith that works obedience? Think we got to work on it? Because Abram didn't do anything. Lot took the whole pie. He got invited in when he was going to lose out. He was in idolatry. He was going to lose. His whole life had a loser on it. But he took him with him because he saw something in him that nobody saw. Abram saw something in Lot that nobody saw. And then he gets treated that way, take the whole pie, and didn't say nothing. So you're going to be tried. You tried him with wealth of the kings. He tried him again through his wife when she was torn from him twice. Twice Sarai was torn from him. Pharaoh took her the first time, and then Abinadab took him the second time. Think about that. So he tried him in that. He never said anything. And then circumcision, he tried him. He tried him in circumcision. And he had tried him through Ishmael and Hagar. What did he have to do with them? He had to send them away. He tried him there. His maidservant, and he sent them away. In everything wherein he had tried him, he was found faithful. In everything he tried him in, he was found what? Faithful. And his soul was not impatient. So that's two of the characters of Abraham. Because we're going to give some character traits that Abraham had, that every one of us must have these character traits, or if we think we're going to be successful serving God, or married, or being a good father, a good husband, a good co-worker, a good business owner. You're not going to be none of the above if you don't have those character traits. They're not options. They're not options. Folk want to go around saying, well, you know, I wasn't, that's just not me. God never gave me those. I never did have faith, you know, I never was able to be faithful. Remember, it's not, you're not given them. You can learn those through the Torah. We're taught those things, and we have good examples. The greatest teacher that ever walked the earth was Yeshua HaMashiach, and he was faithful. And we have, think about Abram. His soul was not impatient, and he was not slow to act. Because what happens when you get slow to act? You don't do what you want to do. That's what Paul said. When I want to do good, I don't do it. Why was that? Because he was slow to act. We have to be careful when I slow to act. When it comes to you, do it immediately. Because eventually you'll change your mind, especially if God tells you to do something with giving. If he says to give, you better not be slow to act, because you won't give what he said, I promise you. You won't do it. You will, by the time you talk yourself through it, it won't even be half of what God said. Because sometimes God asks, he requests of you big in order to get your faith right. Because when he gets your faith that can work obedience in you, then he knows you're able to go to the next level that of emunah in your life. You're ready for it. For he was faithful and a lover of Yah. He was faithful and a lover of Yah. Why did he have these characters? Because he loved Yah. And that's the bottom line. At the end of the day, when everything's said and done, when you love Yah, you're going to obey him. You're not going to have to be told or preached that constantly or constantly encouraged to do that. You do that with little kids. You do that with the ones who have not matured yet. Those are coming up. We're supposed to have seasoned veterans in the kingdom of God, in the army of the Lord, who's ready to take on the young that are coming in so we can help them grow in their faith. But when you're still trying to get folks who've been here a long time to grow in their faith, it can be taxing on you. Chapter 18 of Jubilees, verse 2. And God said to him, Abram, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take thy beloved son whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and go into the high country and offer him on one of the mountains which I will point out unto thee. So here's another test here. This is the ninth test. So we highlight in every one of them, but I have a slide that shows them all in the order as we looked at them. But think about this. He's being tested. Because you remember Master comes and says, you try him in his only son, he's not going to do it. So he's going to test him. Remember, it's sort of what happened with Job. He says, if you'll take the hedge that's around him and let me attack him, he won't live for you. And God pulled the hedge and he attacked him in his body. But he still proclaimed God. And I stood before him and before the prince of the master. And the Lord said, bid him not to lay his hand on the lad, nor to do anything to him. For I have shown that he fears Yah. He fears Yah. And I called to him from heaven and said unto him, Abraham, Abraham. And he was terrified and said, behold, here I am. And I said unto him, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I have shown that thou fearest Yah and has not withheld thy son, thy firstborn son, from me. He knew that he'd come to the conclusion that I am now tied my son on the very spot that he told me to come. The place that Yah put his name. So there he was. He's now at the mountain of Myrrh. That's where he's at. He's at the mountain of Myrrh. He's at the place where Yah chose to put his name. He said, if I slay my son, then Yah is going to resurrect him. He had a revelation of the resurrection right here. If my son dies, he will rise again. And if Yah requires that I do it, then I will do it. And he saw, and the prince of Mastema was put to shame. I mean, you know, Satan's always put to shame. But the reason he's put to shame, we obey. How many want to put Satan to shame? You can't put him to shame by rolling up your sleeves, popping your buttons on your shirt, and say, I'm going to put him to shame. You don't do it that way. You put him to shame by obedience, by obeying, doing what he says. That's how you beat Satan. He was put to shame, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a single ram caught by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And I am reading out of the book of Jubilees, by the way. It's great. If you ever take some time to read the Apocrypha books, they're wonderful. Jubilees chapter 19, verse 2 and 3. This is the last test that Abraham was tested. 10 tests he was tested in. The Jubilees says he was tested 10 times. In the first year of the third week of the Jubilees, the days of the life of Sarah were accomplished, and she died. His death of his wife. He loved his wife. She died in Hebron. And Abraham went to mourn over her and bury her. And we tried him. This is the angel speaking now. That's why it's written this way. And we tried him to see if his spirit were patient, and he were not indignant in the words of his mouth. And he was found patient in this and was not disturbed. Isn't that amazing? We're talking about Abram. What happened to him when God called him? He committed his whole life to God. That's why he's the first called out believer. That's why he's the father of faith. Think about that. Think about the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how God preserved that clan, and how his hand was upon them because of this. He was not indignant in his words, right? That was a great time. Lord, have you left me? Have you left me without a wife? I need my wife. He didn't say that. He realized God knows better than I know. I don't know what's really happening, but whatever he decided, that's fine with me. There was not indignant in his words of his mouth, and he was found patient in this and was not disturbed. How many want to be able to face death not disturbed? What kind of place you got to be for that? Think about it. 10 tests of Abraham, leaving the country, famine, wealth. I didn't touch on wealth a lot, but we'll get there when we're going to get there in chapter 15 probably, somewhere about, we'll talk about it a little bit more. Pharaoh takes Sarah. Abimelech takes Sarah. Circumcision, giving up of Ishmael, giving up of Hagar, giving up of Isaac. And the death of Sarah, 10 times he was tested. And through all the tests, he was found faithful at all of them, every one of them, never questioning God. Count 10 tests in your life and Can we ever reach 10 before we find a failure in our life? Well, we grumbled or we said something. You know, you think about it. We don't realize how much we do that until God shows us. And sometimes, because we don't realize. We don't realize it until he has to put us through a test. And he puts us through a test not to hurt us. The test that he said, I know the plans I have for you. Is it to hurt me? It's not to hurt me. It's to give me a future and a hope and an expected end. He wants the best for me in every test that I go through. And so he wants to see what our words will be. That we'll falsely accuse God, but we'll say, why is this happening to me? Why is everything happening to me? Why has it always happened this way? Remember the characteristics of Abram. We're going to look at them closely. Gave you a few of them, but here's some of them. Character traits of Abraham. Now, let me tell you, this is no option. These are not options. You have to have these if you're going to be successful in the kingdom of God. Do you see anything on this list that you're not able to do? Do you see anything on this list that you're not willing to do? Everything on this list is what God expects of us to do. Number one, Abraham was faithful. He was faithful. Number two, he was patient. He was patient. Number three, his words were only good. His words were only good. He was not given harsh words, words of rebuke, and he could have rebuked Lot, but he didn't. He didn't rebuke Lot. His words were only good. Grace. He had grace. It's amazing how we don't mind receiving grace, but we don't know how to share grace. It's really amazing. What is grace? What is grace? Receiving something? So we got grace and mercy. Did y'all go over that last week? What's grace? What's mercy? Exactly. What about gentleness? Gentleness. How many can see that I'm just talking about fruits of the Spirit here? Obedience. Was he obedient? Everything God asked him to do, he was obedient. I'm going to show you the journey he took on a chart here. I'm going to show you the journey. Just the journey he took was absolutely amazing because he was obedient. Who goes on a journey like he went on traveling with a small clan of people and don't do what he does? It's just unheard of. Why did he do it? Because he was obedient. Obedient don't mean you have to understand. You know, you go around saying, well, as soon as I understand it, you know, for my own self, if I understand it for myself, then I don't mind doing it. That's not obedience. You're trying to condition yourself, talk yourself into doing something that you don't really want to do. Obedience is saying, I'm just going to do what God said. I don't understand. It's called faith. Faith don't make sense. It don't make sense to your natural senses. But you know deep down inside that you can trust God at his word. How many trust in God at his word? You ought to trust him at his word, and you don't realize how much you are. The fact is, you believe that your sins have been forgiven. You trusted him at his word, so it works. You believe your sins forgiven, and you used to feel terrible about your sins. But then you realize that God's a forgiver of sins. And the only time you feel terrible about sin is when you're actually in the immediate committing of one. The moment you cover it in the blood, it goes away. But when you're in the act of it, it's right then. It makes you feel ugly. You feel like, I'm so dirty right now. I don't know what to do. The moment you fall on your face before God and you repent of it, he washes you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You don't have that feeling no more. It goes away. So you know that he's faithful to you, and you know it works. And so remember, obedience is very important key here. Kindness. Did he show kindness? He was kind to Lot. Who goes before Yah and says, Yah, if you find 50, will you spare him? Got down to 10. Do you have 10? 10, he said, I'll spare him. He mediated for him. He showed kindness. And then another characteristic, sharing the truth. Remember, this is not subjective here. It's not your truth. It's not my truth. It's the truth. It's not subjective. It's not a truth. If I say it's a truth, that means there's other truths. If I say it's the truth, that's a standalone. It's his truth, and he shared the truth. He constantly shared it. How do we know he shared it? Because the Torah was not written, but the Bible says Abram kept all the Torah. How does he keep all the Torah? Because it was orally given, and he kept everything that he was ever told. How many find it a little difficult to even keep the stuff that we can read and kind of reference every day? We can reference this written for us, and it's tough to keep. He kept it without it being written. Orally, he kept it, and he taught it. He shared the truth. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Very important scripture. It says, by belief, Abraham obeyed when he was called out, when he was called to go out of the place where he was about to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Think about that. How did he do it? By belief. By belief. So he understood something here. He obeyed by belief. Is that the kind of faith you have? That you obey? And you see this working powerfully in Abraham's life. He obeyed when he was called out, when he was called to go out of the place which he was about to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going, by belief, by faith. Genesis 12:3. I shall bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you, all clans of the earth shall be blessed. Think about that. What he's saying here, I shall bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and in you shall all clans of the earth be blessed. That reminds me of Galatians 3:8. Galatians 3:8, and the scripture having foreseen that Elohim would declare right the nations by belief, announced the good news to Abraham beforehand, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. Think about this wonderful message that was released to Abraham. He did it beforehand. He foreseen that Elohim would declare right the nations by belief, declared the good news of the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, all nations shall be blessed in you. And that's just, that's a quote from Genesis 12:3. Verse 9, so that those who are of belief are blessed with Abraham the believer. So do we have to have the character of Abraham when it's talking about this belief? I don't know how you can have, how this verse applies to you if you don't have those characters of Abraham. You have to have them. Because what did Abraham, what was he exuding? What was it that was coming from him when he lived this way? Those characters. So what happened? Why did his name get changed? What's the purpose in changing the name? Because the name change has to do with character. When you add to your character, your name must change to meet up to your character that you added. When's the last time we worked on adding a character so our name would have to be changed? Think about it. Those who are of belief are blessed with Abraham the believer. So we have to be of that same belief, of that same character that Abraham walked in. So what we see, Messiah through Abraham. And then remember, Abraham saw something that nobody saw. What did he see? He saw Messiah through Lot. That's why he took him. And the sages say that back some 2,000 years ago. You can go and read these things, that this was the belief, that he saw something in him. He wasn't being disobedient by taking him. He saw in him something that needed to be preserved and kept. And he took his responsibility, as the Torah taught him, to take care of his brother's son. And so he did that. And so what we do in Christianity is we try to look at the bad, and we say, but if Abraham would have only not took Lot, they wouldn't have gotten in a fight, the clansmen, the herdsmen. They wouldn't have been fighting each other. And we preach on that. We'll preach, you know, we'll pull out other verses, different places, and we get down to Sod, exegeting, and we get into the Kabbalistic eros. You know, we just get into inspiration and stuff like that. But what he's trying to tell us here is that Abram saw something in Lot that nobody saw. And we'll find out what he saw. This is one of my favorite slides. This is Lot. Now there's a problem, this is a lot of problems right here. Now the only reason it's together and the way it is because God put it together. He takes all the problems and he puts it together. So let's look at this together. We got Lot who flees Sodom and Gomorrah with his two daughters. They wound up in a cave, and his daughters seem to think the world's over. There's no more men. God done burned them up. All they seeing is the sulfur and the smoke coming from where they were. And listen, there were five cities there, not two. Five cities. They smoked. And so what Lot's daughters do, they say, let's get dad drunk and we'll lay with him so we can preserve the seed. That don't sound very nice to me, right? The reality is nobody wants to talk about this because of that. But this is what the scripture points out to us, so I'm going to tell you whether you're uncomfortable or not. So his two daughters, one goes in, the first one goes in, she gets him drunk, and she lays with him, and it says in the sage that he don't even realize that when she comes or when she goes, he's that drunk. And then the next daughter goes in, and she says, now it's your turn. She goes in, and they preserve the seed, and they have two children. The one daughter has Moab, the other one has Ammon. That don't seem like a big deal, you know. Then it's scratched out the way. The only issue is that this Moab had a daughter named Ruth, a Moabitess, who had her own set of problems, struggling. Husband's dead, brother-in-law dead, father-in-law dead. It's over with our clan. How can that generation even exist anymore? How can that clan even make it anymore? It's a scratch. Just scratch them off. Let's scratch it out. That's what society does today for way less than that. it's over with. They got to be cursed. They got to be cursed. But we know something happens in the life of Ruth. She meets this guy. Well, where this guy comes from? Well, this guy comes from Tamar. You know Tamar is the only woman, Zedek, that the Bible mentions? She's a righteous Zedek, means she's righteousness. She was promised for a son, Judah's son. This is Judah. He had two sons. She was espoused to one of them. They died. That one died. So she went to the next one. He died. I mean, see, that sounds sort of like Ruth's story. So Tamar is now at the entrance of the city with a veil over her face in mourning. Judah's going out in the town. He's looking for something. He don't realize that this is his, would be his daughter-in-law twice. He thinks she's a prostitute, takes and lays with her, and she has two children by Judah, Zerah and Perez. Perez has Solomon, who takes the harlot Rahab from Joshua's Jericho. See how good God is? Solomon marries Rahab. Now, all of these women accepted the Torah, and they followed the Torah. They followed the rule of Yah. They didn't have their own rule, their own God. They followed the rule of Yah, and what happened? They were preserved. She's put the scarlet line out. Remember that? And Solomon took her to be a wife. Well, then they have a son. Let me see this. Who's their son? Boaz, who marries Ruth. So now they have a son, Obed. Then Obed, Jesse. Then Jesse, King David, who brings in another woman, Bathsheba. Another issue, an adulterous affair. They have a son named Solomon, who ultimately Yeshua comes from. So, yes, Messiah is found in Lot. Through all that problem. So he's trying to tell us, listen, you can tell me all your problems. You can paint your testimony as terrible as you want. Tell me all the times you did drugs, all the times you drank, all the times you slept around, all the times you did all the evil. And you know what I'll tell you? So what? If you let God come in by his Torah, he can take a mess and turn it into this right here. And he'll do the same for you. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you made. It matters if you're going to be willing to follow the Torah and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. You're my only one. You're the only God I want. When you do that, it changes your life. It changes everything about you. But listen, you're going to have faith that works obedience. That's what you're going to have. It's going to be, it's not, you can't, there's nobody can cheat in this. You can't cheat in it. When you're obeying, that's your faith has to, it's going to be matched up. There's no doubt about it. Because it's the result of where your faith is at, how you obey. And that's what we find. I don't tell you where I'm at now. I done hit the button. There I go. So all these, no telling where she'd have wound up. She'd have listened to her mother-in-law. No telling what she'd have done if she'd have just went ahead and become that prostitute. No telling what would happen. She'd have died with the rest of them. She wouldn't have put the scarlet line out. And right here, instead of her being dead, God saved her life, but their firstborn was dead, and they had a second son named Solomon, who built the temple back. Solomon. So it can be a mess. It can be a mess. But let me tell you something. If you allow God to work through you because you're being obedient, he can take this terrible thing right here. This seems to be the most terrible thing. But eventually, it brought about this Moabitess. This is what's so powerful about God and his mercy and his grace. Verse 4. So Abram left as Yah had commanded him, and Lot went with him. What did he see in Lot? I just explained to you what he saw in Lot. He saw that the Messiah could come through Lot. Abram was that kind of guy. He never saw any individual that didn't have potential. It's a great character. It's a great character. And let me tell you, with that character, it may seem sometimes in your life that you're getting run over on, that you're getting stepped on. And some people will come and try to defend you. But what you need to do is don't defend me. You got to have the same character yourself. If we had more people with that character, the world would be so much different. But that's how you'll feel, like, I'm getting stepped on here. But he wasn't getting stepped on. He was being obedient to God, and he had a great character. He saw in Lot what nobody else could see. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the beings whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And Yah appeared to Abram and said, now that word appeared is next week's Torah portion. Next week's Torah portion is going to be on this word appear, because he's going to appear again. And so it's got to have its own portion. It's got so much to say right there. So there's no reason for me to get on it now. We'll do it next week. And he built there, and he said, to your seed I give this land. And he built there a slaughter place to Yah, who had also appeared to him. And from there he moved to the mountains east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent in Bethel on the west of Ai, on the east, and he built there a slaughter place to Yah, and he called on the name of Yah. In Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 6, dealing with the mountain of Moreh, that's where he builds the altar. Listen to this in Solomon. It says, that Solomon that I've pointed to you, that David and Bathsheba, that's Solomon. He said, until the day breaks and the shadows have fled. The day break and the shadows have fled. He's talking about the evening. The shadows have fled, the evening. I shall go my way to the mountain of myrrh, to the hill of frankincense. So this mountain of Moreh was also the same word where we get the root for myrrh. It comes from the same word. So he's describing this. You are all beautiful, my love, and not a blemish is on you. When we're at the place God wants us to be, when we're doing what God wants us to do, and we have faith that works obedience, you are all beautiful, my love, and not a blemish is on you. When we're operating in the character that Abram displayed, that I just spelled out to you, what does he say? You are all beautiful, my love, and not a blemish is on you. How many see how important it is to be obedient to the Lord? Isaiah 51, verse 1 says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, seeking Yah. Look to the rock you were hewn from. Look to the rock you were hewn from. And to the hole of the pit you were dug from. Think about what he's saying here. He says, he's taking us back to where he formed man from the dust of the ground. He's taking us back to that place. That place is Moreh, the place where Abram built a slaughter place, an altar unto the Lord. He said it's like myrrh and frankincense, the mountain of myrrh. So it's also known as the mountain of myrrh or frankincense. It's a sweet savor to the Lord. What does he say? You are beautiful. There's not a blemish on you. Think about it. How many want God to say that about you? Look to Abram, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was alone when I called him, and I blessed him and increased him. There was nobody but him when he called him. Alone. And God blessed him and increased him. Think about it. That's why you shouldn't despise small beginnings. You might say, well, I just got started in the Torah. That's okay. You could be up here next year doing what I'm doing. It doesn't, there's no, You're not disqualified because you just got started. You were alone when he called you. God will change everything about you and put anointing in your life for you to carry this on. Listen, what God wants to do in the end time, which we're fast approaching, is far greater than I'm able to do. It's far greater than every person sitting here is able to do. So listen, don't ever think, well, there's no reason for me to study that hard because I'll never get a chance to do it. Let me tell you, I'm encouraging all of you to study hard as you can because you'll have many chances to teach the Torah to many people. Many. So study hard as you can. Learn as much as you can. And you get this because he said, for he was alone when I called him and I blessed him and increased him. How many know God wants to bless you and increase you? So here's his journey. This is good. This is where he was. This is where he's going. This is Egypt when he went. But he's going to come to Shechem. This is Shechem right here. But he left from Canaan for his family, went here and didn't come back. Think about it. He was here by himself, nobody with him, when he called him. And what did he do? He blessed him and increased him, and he started his trek. He wound up here in Haran. Remember that? Then He comes on down, comes to Shechem. And then there's a famine in the land. This is Jerusalem. There's a famine in the land. So he leaves there and goes to Egypt. That's Egypt right here. Goes to Egypt. And then after the famine, he goes back up. That's faith right there. That's traveling faith. He wasn't just around the corner. It wasn't step outside. You know, God didn't say, Abram, step outside. I got something to tell you. I got something to show you. He called him from here to here, and he went. Think about that. So when I mention these characters that Abraham had, that's what brings you from here to here. Here and back here, those characters. So it don't make a difference how long your story may be, how big your journey is. If you'll have the right character and the right heart attitude, God can bring you in every place on time, at the appointed time, to accomplish what he has set forth for you to do. There's no doubt about it. Chapter 9. And Abram set out, continuing toward the south. And the scarcity of food came to be in the land, and Abram went down to Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, to dwell there. For the scarcity of food, that's the famine we're talking about, and was serving in the land. And it came to be that when he was close to entering Mitzrayim, that he said to Sarai, his wife, see, I know that you're a beautiful woman to look at. And it shall be that when the Mitzrayites see you, they shall say, this is his wife, and they shall kill me, but let you live. Please say that you're my sister, so that it shall be well with me for your sake, and my life be spared because of you. Now, this is kind of one of those areas of Abraham's life you go, what in the world is he doing? He went all that way, and now he's going to come up with this plot. Remember who Sarai is. Who is Sarai? Who is she? That's right. So it's his niece. And in the Eastern culture, your niece was what? Called your sister. This was common. So this was not out of scope of what was common, that she would be his sister. And it came to be that when Abram came into Mitzrayim, that the Mitzrayites saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. So just like he said was going to happen, happened. He was being led by God. Just like he said was going to happen, it happened. And Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house immediately. But it was all in the plan of God. God was about to make a transfer of wealth. And he treated Abraham well for her sake. Now, if he'd have been a husband, he'd have been what? Competition. But because he's a brother, I like him because I like her. And he had sheep and cattle, male donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. He started giving him stuff, just giving it all to him. But Yah plagued Pharaoh. This is where Abram's character comes into play. Just be what God wants you to be. Don't try to be God. Don't be the man when it's not time for you to be the man. Just let God do it. Abram didn't want to go pick a fight with Pharaoh because he'd have lost that fight. So what he had to do is he had to let Yah fight this battle. I'm just going to be the brother. Yah fights this battle. What did Yah do? Yah put plagues on Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So the Bible never calls it, he says it's his wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not inform me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? And so I was going to take her for my wife. Look here, is your wife. Take her and go." So when the plague came on her, Pharaoh, remember, this is this mystical atmosphere of the Egyptians. Everything was a god. This plague come on him because of, he quickly drew a line of Sarah. She's the reason. Take her and get out of here. Take her and go. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and he sent him away with his wife and all that he had. What did he have? Well, he had more when he got in there than when he got there. And he gave him all these donkeys and camels and servants and all this. He gave him all that stuff. All that he had, he didn't give it back to him. He didn't say he gave it back to him. He took it all. And so that's what we see. So we'll stop right here. In the morning, we'll get started with chapter 13. We're not doing very good on time. But we'll get as far as we can. Abram shows selflessness and faith, giving Lot first choice of the land. That's where we'll start. All right. Well, God bless everyone. Love you. Thank God for you. Sounds like we better make it for the house before we get a storm coming.